Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
As we go into this week's lessons time, we are going to be looking at the sixth commandment, right? Where the Bible says, "You shall not murder." And most of us feel pretty safe in this territory, right? We haven't killed anyone. We don't have a criminal record. We think we're doing just fine. But Matthew 5, 21, 22, Christ ups the game. And that's where we're getting our lesson time, doing the radical upgrade, right, on the sixth commandment is what we're going to be looking at as we begin the lesson this morning. To say, he is saying here, that's Jesus, you don't have to. In fact, some of us with our self-righteous comfort are not safe. He stands before the crowd and says, "You have heard how it said in the olden days, you shall not murder. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment." Angry, just anger. Jesus reveals that God does not look he doesn't just look at the physical weapon in the hand. He looks at the hidden hostility that resides in the heart. That's what he looks at. And to God, the root of matter is not the final act of violence, but the silent, burning anger we harbor against another human being. And we're going to be exploring that and how Jesus then elevates the law from a civic duty to actually just what it actually is, the heart condition. So join us as we study together, +27734703520. That's the number you can comment on, ask your question on, as we study with our pastor. Before this, Chiwanda joins us this week. Pastor, good morning to you and welcome.
Hello. Welcome, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, by grace, though.
We are grateful for that. We are grateful. Good to have you over, Mfundisi. And thank you so much for taking the time to share with us and the listener here.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm here now.
Thank you. Mfundisi, we are looking at this idea of an upgrade that Christ does to this law of old, as he refers to it. I mean, Matthew 5 and 21. He uses the formula, "You have heard what it is said of old," right? That's how he starts it, before he looks at his upgrade. Can you paint maybe a picture of the historical and cultural mindset of his audience that he has to refer to and say, "Hey, this is how you've been looking at this law." Then he now addresses it anew, especially regarding the sixth commandment about not killing people, not murdering, right? Why do we feel secure in keeping this law in this approach that we have always done?
Those people, the Jews that Jesus was addressing at the time, mm-hmm. had the mindset of a religion of do don't. It's actually a shallow religion. It's a very shallow religion, and it deals with the outside, because the doings have to be seen. They have to be visible. You have to actually demonstrate that you are righteous. And you remember they could even stand on the road and begin to pray. To pray so that people see that they are righteous. Yeah. So their background was that they had to demonstrate their particular righteousness. And people should know that you are righteous. And that's how they accepted one another, because they could see that they were doing the same things. They even added the laws to traditions. There were other instructions that were extra biblical. They added more so that they could demonstrate practically how they were righteous. And so they accepted one another and accepted their own righteousness from that background. So when Jesus came with this upgrade, it was a shock. In fact, it was very shocking. How does he say that when we are doing this? So they felt quite safe. Because until Jesus agitated them, because now they could not live in complacency, because Jesus was saying, look, the seed, I'm looking at the seed, the root. So they said, hey, so our righteousness is actually sinful.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes.
And when you look at that, I mean, he then follows this phrase almost like a doctor. I remember one speaking about the difference between when you're talking education now, about anybody else who qualifies for any sort of program, be it from at a school where you just passing the exam or the test, or you then do your final year exam in high school. You get that certificate. You're still not educated. Even when you get your undergrad and your postgrad and even a master's, you are still referring to, and you need to cite when you give us information. You don't say, "I first at Chiwanda." No. You must say, "This is what I believe in as according to so and so." But when you get to doctorate level, you might cite people, but you also are now an authority in that field. You can be cited and you say, "I say," and that's what Christ does here, right? Dr. Jesus, if you will, saying here, you've heard how they said in of old, but I say to you. What is he doing here, Mfundisi, by making himself the authority here? Is he completely throwing out the Mosaic law to say it's of no value at all? I mean, you heard how Moses said you will not kill anybody, but I say, forget about Moses.
The first thing I say is actually posing as the lawgiver. Mm. He's trying to say that law that you got from Moses was from me.
Okay.
I am the authority behind that law. And I know why I gave you that law. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, he is saying, I know your internal status. And so because I know your internal status, I can tell you who you are and what you are.
Okay.
I know you qualify according to the physical qualifications mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. yourselves. But to me, you don't qualify. To me, you don't qualify because what you are doing in showing that you didn't matter is not the same as what is happening inside you. Look at you inside your life. Deep inside, you are so hostile. Mm. You wish your friend died. You wish you deleted your friend. So, yeah. To me, I'm judging what is there inside. I know you. I know you. What's inside you. I know the law you are purporting to keep, and I know that it is a mismatch. So I'm interested in you. I'm interested in you. I'm not interested in my own law. I gave you the law. You are not keeping it, but I'm interested in you so that I can change your life. I'm very much interested in you. I wish you could come to me. I wish you could come to me so that I can change you. Because it actually is trying to say, I will convict you today.
Okay.
I will convict you today.
Yeah,
I'll convict you today. You can't tell me that you are not killing each other, and yet you so much hate each other with hot hatred. You don't even wish your friend anything good. You wish they were gone. To me, you have already killed. You have already killed them.
Yeah.
So since I am the one who created you, I'm the one who gave you the law, I now say.
And I like how you're putting it across to say, it's not a question about whether he is disregarding the law or not. It's a question of how he is more interested in the person that we are beyond what the law is saying we must do. And I think sometimes we view God from that perspective that all he's interested in is the obedience of his law. And we forget, no, it's actually about us. It's about us.
Yes.
And I think that's profound. Thank you so much for that. What are the implications, Mfundisi, of God evaluating our secret motives and emotions and then use them as murder? I mean, he says, in your heart, if you do it in your heart, you might as well be a murderer. Shutanje, that you don't have any meta weapon that you can be holding.
The implications are that the first thing he wants to do mm-hmm. is to put us in that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been seeing ourselves without the mirror, because the mirror is deeper than us. Mm. The mirror is more transparent than we are.
Yeah.
The mirror is a scanning machine which goes deeper into us. And so he is saying the mirror is not just a glass that is simplistic. It's actually something that will go deeper and show you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the first implication is that he wants them to understand who they are. He's throwing deeper the arrow of conviction. The arrow of conviction. He's throwing it deeper so that they understand themselves. They take a deeper introspection and say, I have been thinking that I didn't murder. You mean I murdered just by the way I thought of that one? And then the second implication is that he wants them to ask the question, what shall I do to be saved?
Okay.
What shall I do to be saved? That's the second implication. What shall I do to be saved? Should I remain like this? Should I continue to hate this guy? Should I continue to harbor these negative thoughts against somebody? Should I continue with internal insults against the people? Internal degradation of people, deleting them from existence within him. So the implication is that they should seek for a savior.
Okay.
They should say, Lord, if I forgive me, they should come to the point of saying, forgive me for what I've been doing.
Mm.
I've been murdering my own wife. I didn't know I was murdering my wife.
And I think I want to say also serves Mfundisi to take us off our high horses, does it not? Right, where we thought we were so righteous and we were so good, only for God to come and say, no, that standard which you thought was the one you're keeping. I mean, he speaks to that rich young ruler, does it not? To say, no, keep the law, and he says, no, the law is simple stuff. I've been doing this from my childhood, and he says, have you really though? And then he goes a bit deeper, and the young man can't even say, oh, I'm a sinner, help me, Lord. He walks away because he's so self righteous. Talk to us about how this law actually helps us address that self-righteousness as well.
Yes, of course, it also shows us that we are not what we have been claiming to be. We are not what we have been claiming. You know, you remember somewhere Jesus says that you are righteous. If your righteousness is not greater than that of the Pharisees,
you cannot
enter into the kingdom of God. Because the Pharisees had that high grade of themselves, grading themselves so high that when they looked at Jesus' activities, they said he's a sinner. They pointed at Jesus as a sinner. They even said that he is breaking the Sabbath. This guy is breaking the Sabbath. We must kill him. Why? Because they thought they were closer to God than Jesus was. So to show them that you are not what you are claiming to be, he came with this great knife, the great knife that cut through the heart and said, it's not the claim. It's not the claim.
It's what is going on
in your mind. Check your mind. How do you think? How do you think? How do you come to evaluate yourself as self-righteous? You can't be. There is no righteousness apart from my righteousness. That's what Jesus is saying. There is no law apart from the law that I gave, which is deeper than your thinking. So he is trying to bring them down. He's trying to say, no, you are going to the stars. You don't belong to the stars. You belong on earth. And on this earth, everyone is a sinner. Sin and death puts us at the same level. You can't claim to keep the law when I tell you that there is no one who is keeping the law around here. You're all sinners. You know, I even sometimes wonder why we talk about the law too much more than Jesus. I wonder why. Because if we knew that Jesus is our righteousness, we would stop magnifying the law. Because he already magnified it in his own life. He kept it. He kept it perfectly. He never sinned. We could lift our eyes no longer to what we do in order to claim to keep. We would lift our eyes to what Christ has done for us.
Done.
Yes. Because he was sinless for me. He was sinless for us. He came, he lived sinlessly for us. And the law is satisfied with what Jesus did for us. The law is very satisfied. The law is very satisfied. The law is but up to now, my friend, the law is not satisfied with me. The law is not satisfied with me. It's satisfied with Jesus. Yeah. So why can't I focus on Christ?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is simply telling them, look to me. Look to me. If you want to be saved, look to me. Look to me. Don't look to yourselves. What have you done that you can claim to be keeping a holy law? A holy law. A law that is as holy as God himself. How can you claim to keep it yourselves? Yeah. Just look to me. Look to me.
Look to Jesus.
don't leave your inside as evil as it is.
It's about fixing the inside. And I want to address something that seems like a contradiction as well, Mfundisi. We get Paul. I mean, the commandment is clear. You should not be killing, right? That's what it says, commandment number 6. Don't murder, right?
Yes.
And then Christ elevates it and says, in fact, don't be angry.
Yes.
Right, at your brother, and then yes. We hear this repeated by John the apostle, right, to say how can you hate your brother and claim to love God? There's a dichotomy there. There's a challenge. You can't do that. But
you
Paul,
can't.
When you come in Ephesians chapter 4, he then says it's okay to be angry as long as you do not sin.
Yes.
Is this a contradiction to what Jesus is saying? Don't be angry at your brother? Or is there something maybe that we're missing that needs to be balanced here to say Christ is adding something else to this type of hatred? Because, I mean, hatred is a human emotion. It's something that happens when you're upset and things are done against you that you don't approve of or agree with. Is he saying that emotion is sinful in and of itself?
There is a timing. There is a timing factor.
Mm-hmm.
There is a timing factor in Paul's words.
Okay.
It looks like Paul is referring to emotional outbursts.
Okay.
That are physically or physiologically generated.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when something negative happens, you should not lie. When something negative happens that you don't like, mm-hmm. you exhibit
yeah.
a certain fit, yeah. a certain fit that is emotional.
Yeah.
You become immediately angry. And you don't like what you have experienced, and then you stay for some time with that adrenaline inside you and with all that physiological setup. Upset. You're upset. You're not feeling good. You are still not happy
yeah.
with what you have gone through. You are thinking through what they have said. You are thinking through what it means and so on. So you are sort of disturbed.
Okay.
But as you calm down, you say, well, my friend is a human. I am a human. You settle down and you say, Lord, forgive me. Mm-hmm. And also forgive my friend. Forgive my friend. You see, during the time, the 24 hours, you are able to settle down and say, let me forgive her. Let me forgive him. Let me accept what has happened. It can happen to anyone. You settle down and then you settle it with God and with your friend. And you say, let's forget the issue. By the time the sun sets, you are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite momentary. It came to you as something you didn't expect, and it agitated you, and so you have now settled, you are forgiven. That's anger that is natural and acceptable. Or Paul is saying that's acceptable.
Mm.
But when you take that anger over the 24 hours into 36 and 40 and a week and a month, and you are building negativity towards that person, you see now what is happening.
Yeah.
It is revealing what's you and what's inside you. You are actually saying, he can't do that to me. I will see what I can do about it. You're actually arming yourself with ammunition for revenge. So, should we look at that as the same as what Christ is saying? No, it's not the same.
No.
Paul is saying something, Jesus is saying something else.
So
yes.
Paul is addressing that momentary outburst, like you're saying, and he's saying, actually, don't let it then. In fact, he says, don't let your anger lead you to sin, which is what now Christ is now addressing here to say, when your anger is deep-seated, it's breeding just a lack of opportunity for you to do away with this person. Yeah, we need to be careful.
It's actually destroying you, because sin destroys the one who is sinning.
Hey.
It's actually destroying you. Oh. It's not destroying your friend, it's destroying yourself.
It's you. May God have mercy. And hopefully, Mfundisi, as we draw to the close of today's lesson, someone maybe might be convicted. Hopefully, someone has heard this message about not harboring anger that is self-destructive. Maybe they have been nursing this deep-seated anger you just described, a grudge maybe against someone for months, God forbid, for years. How does this lesson that we're addressing today, how does it shift from a word of condemnation, especially Christ's words? How can they be utilized by today's listener and say it's an offer for transformative grace?
Yes, maybe the member of audience thinking like that or feeling like that, I have hated my own friend for a long time. I've harbored these negatives. Maybe if they can think of what Christ says in Mark 11, verse 25, he said, you should forgive your neighbors, you should forgive your friends, because if you don't, God may also not forgive you. Meaning that if I harbor this negativity, this hatred, this insult inside me against somebody, then I am actually blocking God's forgiveness, and I'm also hindering my own ability to forgive. So why don't I ask Christ to change me, to say, I think it's not my friend who only was wrong, but it's me too, because I could not forgive. I was keeping these things. Lord, clean me. I'm impure. It should help us to give ourselves back to Christ, to submit to Christ and to seek for his forgiveness, and also to liberate us and help us to forgive others as well.
That's a beautiful way to wrap it up. It's a call to accept forgiveness, but also to offer it to others. Funisi, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing with us this lesson today, and we can't wait for the balance of the week.
Bless you, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Funisi Chiwanda joining us this morning as we are looking at this very important subject, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, and the implications thereof, especially in light of what Christ then says in Matthew chapter 5. You've heard how it's been said, don't murder, but I'm upgrading it and saying, if you just hate, my friend, you're in the same WhatsApp group.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.